Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, and in both of those things we're in there, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In this present world. And that goes right along with what it said in Galatians chapter 1. Just to drive this point home, that he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And not just through death. You know, because if we die in our sins, as Jesus said, I feel like I'm recapping every point I've made. But it's worth laying this groundwork. As Jesus said, hey, if you don't believe I am he, you're going to die in your sins. And to me, now you take that and you say, well then therefore, if I die in my sins, it means that I didn't believe in him. Because I believe I think you can totally convert that way. I know some logical statements can only be partially converted, but that one makes all the sense in the world to me. Of course, it's been said of me that my logic leaves something to be desired, so logical or not, I know it's true. We need to be in love, holy, without blame. These things do not come by us, taking it upon ourselves. Well, I'm going to reform myself. Though I love that sentiment, you know. There's nothing like someone, you know, trying to live for God. I have the utmost admiration for that. And I have the utmost patience for those who are trying. But ultimately, we have to realize that, you know, as Abraham and Sarah could not force themselves to have a baby, only God could cause that miracle to happen. So also, I can't force Christ to be formed in me. I will strive. I will pray. I will do everything the scriptures say I ought to do. But foremost, what I do, more than anything, is I believe that it's going to happen. I believe on this earth, I'm going to be just like Christ. If not now, then someday. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. You know, but I realize it's like, in some respects, maybe I don't understand the fullness of what that means. I know part of what it means is we are appointed to suffer, as he also suffered. Verse 5 had said he had predestinated us. That word means to predetermine. Very similar. Predestined, predetermined. You know, in advance, he has made a determination. Literally, the word in Greek, proorizo, means to limit in advance. He said, this is what, you know, I mean, what it means is he got specific. You know, there was, you know, concerning this person, this is what it was going to be. He predestinated us unto. But don't lose the fact that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. What an awesome thought that God would take an ungodly person such as I and adopt me as his son. And I couldn't be born like Jesus, sinless, but by his sacrifice, God is going to deliver me and has delivered me from this present evil world. And he's going to cause me to become his son, just like Christ. I mean, except obviously the way I got there is different, you know. But in the scriptures it says we're going to be his brethren. Obviously he's the first, as it says, firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn always has preeminence. But still, you know, can you imagine having that brother who looks at you and he's not the kind of guy that's going to, he's not there to rub it in your face or something like that. I'm the oldest. But how could we not honor him? By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of your will, because God is standing at the door knocking, and he is hoping that someday you will accept the cross. He's waiting for you to, I heard someone say this on the radio just the other day. He's waiting for you to make a decision. Ultimately, it's your choice. You have to choose. Are you going to love God? You have to choose. As if man, a vile creature who would not seek after God, who does not love God, is going to just within himself up and choose.
I choose God.
Well, they do it all the time, so they say. But you know what? God doesn't want that. It's kind of insulting, actually. If he wants it his way, and then to say, no, it's not up to you. It's up to me. No, it's going to the good pleasure of his will. The glory of his grace. Remember, grace is that concept whereby God behaves benevolently towards us. His grace is when he gives us this benevolent. And I'll tell you what. Here are elements of the grace of God, okay? That people usually don't talk much about. It says, the grace is to everybody. It hath appeared to all men, it says, right? Teaching us. But all men, you got to understand the New Testament time, a lot of times it says, all this and all men, all men, all men. Well, kind of like in the book of Revelation, it says, he calls to the birds, he says, that ye may eat the flesh of all men. Wait, you mean the birds are going to eat everybody? What is this, like I remember the song, but I don't remember the guy's name. I used to, but who cares? Stupid Halloween entertainment nonsense. The birds, remember? But God... in the Old Testament, had chosen a single nation among all nations on which he would put his name, and they would be count, and he would said, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and he made a covenant with them, and that was the law. We've had a lot of books talking about that. We're not going to focus much on the law in this book, a little bit, but in the New Testament, it was open to all men, not just Jews, but Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles is all men, see? It has appeared to all men. I mean, at the time that was written by Paul Titus, it hadn't appeared to all men.